cabinet can tell a number of positions on the campus. He has many talents, professor of mathematics, but I think the one point where he really shines is when he gets his mace and struts out as Marshal of the University, Bill Cashman.
I used to begin by saying I'm glad to be here. Now I can say I'm glad to still be here, I guess, after all these years. Earl came 2 years after I did, so he's not so, 1 year, yeah, 34. We're celebrating last year our 50th anniversary, and as part of our 50th anniversary celebration, the alumni prevailed upon me to make a little collection of historical pictures, and most of them are over in the museum, and I had slides made of these historical photographs and made a collection then of about 50 slides covering pretty well the history of the university. It's much easier to convey the ideas of our history by pictures than it is to talk about it. So I showed the film or these pictures last year maybe 12 or 15 times. I never tell the same stories to the picture twice, the same, so I don't know what I'll talk about today, but if our good assistant here will help me with the slides while I'll reminisce a little bit about some of our bygone days. The university history, I suppose, is in a nutshell that cornerstone out in front. And if you haven't spotted it yet, I recommend that you stop by the cornerstone and read the inscription in front. And this is where it all started. It was the 4th of July, 1915, and it's rather hard to see the picture, but what it is the laying of the cornerstone by the local Masonic Lodge, and I think you can see the AACSM on the stone in front. Well, that was the Alaska Agricultural College and School of Mines. The presiding officer, where's my flicker? Have I got the flicker here? The slide changer? Oh, I was waiting for somebody to switch the slides, and that's me. All right, forward, all right. This is the same occasion, and standing on the cornerstone in this photograph is the famous James Wickersham. You'll hear in the name Wickersham all over. We have a Wickersham Hall, there's a Wickersham Street, there's a Wickersham house in Juneau, and the newest ferry boat has been named the Wickersham. So Wickersham was a somewhat larger than life character in Alaska history, and he was delegate to Congress at the time and introduced a bill in 1915 to establish a land grant college here in Alaska, and even went so far as to specify its location. And that upset Congress quite a bit because this was the first time a land-grant college bill had been introduced where the site was specified by the Congress. They thought it should be left to the people of the state or territory, but Wickersham wanted it here, and he got it after some little squabble. And then having passed in March 1915, he hid himself back here by time of the 4th of July and rallied some townspeople. He actually himself, with a couple of friends, made the cornerstone out of the concrete. It measures nicely 2 by 3 by 4, and the address that he gave, there are still copies around, and there it's quite a document. He had envisioned, by the way, that the place was going to pay for itself, and maybe Dr. Wood would be interested in this. You see, on a land-grant college, he gets $50,000 a year from the federal government to teach agricultural and mechanic arts. And then he thought that the land grant would lease for $1 an acre, which would bring in some $200,000 a year, and that would be sufficient to run the college for quite some time to come. At any rate, the picture jumped then to 1917, where the territorial legislature accepted the land grant and appropriated $60,000 to get the college started. And I have no picture of 1917. There's not much to show of 1917 other than the fact that it passed the legislature, which incidentally was the third territorial legislature, first having been in 1913,
And I think it's quite remarkable that the higher education was established by the new territory at the same time as the State Department of Education was established, both in 1917. This is 1922. The occasion is the dedication of the college. And it was September 13, 1922, and the governor was in town, Governor Scott C. Bone, and they had a big parade of all the school children down the main street of town. And they had a little review down by the railroad station, and the children all came out by railroad car, marched up the hill to this arch, which is now our entrance down here. And but the governor's party by this time was a little bit hungry, so they stopped for lunch, and the young kiddies out here had to wait about an hour and a half for the governor and his party to arrive by motor car over the road, and you see the road was probably not too good. Well, this was the building that they dedicated that day, and Scott C. Bone, the governor, gave the address, in which they all envisioned that there were great things in store in agriculture and mining. These were the first six students. The Chamber of Commerce in Fairbanks had told the legislature in the year or two before, in 1917, that there were at least 150 students waiting to attend college. But they were a little over-optimistic, because when the college opened in 1922, six students showed up, and these are they. The first order of business that the regents had to do, or the trustees as they were then called, was to select a president, and they selected Charles E. Bunnell. He was freshly out of a job as 4th Division judge of the court and in 1921, and they appointed him the president of the college. He was already an old-timer in the territory, having come up in 1900 to teach school in Kodiak, and served as superintendent in Valdez, studied law on his own. In 1914, ran against Wickersham for the job of delegate to Congress. He lost, but the Democrats were in the administration then, and President Wilson appointed him judge of the 4th Division Court here in Fairbanks. And it was a pretty good choice, because he lasted for 27 years as our founding president. One of the first things that was done on the college in 1922 was to organize a basketball team, and Dr. Bunnell used to call this his full house team. The three fellows in the center and the back were the three Loftus brothers, all still alive and prominent alumni, and flanked on either side by the two McComb brothers. So he said, three of a kind and a pair, that made a full house. And so he called this the full house team. This was 1926. Earlier the students had all commuted, but 1926 they built the first dormitory, which was only torn down in 1963, by the way. Its later years was used as a rifle range in the basement and ROTC headquarters. This is located just opposite, was located just opposite the Eielson building in what is now the freshly paved parking lot. It was first used as a men's dorm, then a women's dorm, and as I said, finally wound up as a general usage building. This was the campus in 1929, and if you don't recognize anything, I'm not surprised, because there's nothing here now that was here in 1929. The little house down in the far corner was the president's cottage, and that has been moved up to a position now just back of the fire station, and that is the only existing structure. All the other frame structures are long gone. The two dormitories on the side and the big main building out in front overlooking the campus, located approximately now where the pool is, or the memorial plaza. And as I said, the students in the early days took the train out, Toonerville trolley they called it, and the fare was 25 cents, made seven trips a day. And then from the railroad station at the foot of the hill, they'd trek up the hill to their classes. This happened in 1934. December the 7th, 1934, the temperature went up to 44 degrees above. I happen to be here this year, but I can't find myself in the picture. At any rate, we all went out and had our pictures taken in this fine, salubrious climb. The same day in Denver, Colorado, it was 20 below, as I recall. This is Otto Geist. You should recognize that name, or you may from time to time hear it. He's, I suppose, the father of our museum, which is one of our prides and joys. And Otto came in 1924 or thereabouts to study a mining short course, talked to Dr. Bunnell, became interested in this idea of collecting some of the Eskimo artifacts. And so with Bunnell's personal financing, he went over to St. Lawrence Island, made the initial collections in 1926-27 of the Eskimo artifacts and things, and brought them back and started the museum. Here he's dolled up in a parkie for the 1934 Ice Carnival Parade with all the equipment. This was the college building for many years, having the original centerpiece with a couple of wings, then served as the principal college building all the way until 1960. Administrative and classrooms and laboratories. This is the groundbreaking ceremony for the Eielson Memorial Building, of some interest because this is Wickersham turning the spade of earth and Dr. Bunnell holding his hat to one side. They were longtime political enemies, little more than rivals. They were, I would think that they were political enemies. And however, by this time, in the affairs had come around, the judge had retired and was living in Juneau and practicing law. Bunnell was still president, of course. And he invited him up to break the ground and deliver the commencement address here, 1934. This is a close-up of Dr. Bunnell with the ceremonial shovel talking with Judge Wickersham. I show this only for one reason, that in order to be the marshal of the university, you must have had early training, and that fellow standing front and center with a baton, that is I. But we were too small to have a regular ROTC. We had to buy our own uniforms, but because we were a land-grant college, we were obliged at that time to teach military science. And so we bought our own uniforms and had our own military science class. This is the President's Cottage as you came up the hill. And as I said, it's the only remaining building that's still on campus, although on a, in a different location, up behind the fire station. And this is an important picture in our history. In 1935, although the university had only about 150 students, and a faculty of only 18, I believe, still, after 13 years as the Alaska Agricultural College and School of Mines, we thought that that name rather limited our prestige. And so one of our alumni got elected to the legislature and proposed a bill to change the name to the University of Alaska. This is the signing of the bill in 1935, changing the name then to the university. It's interesting because probably nearly everyone here now has a dormitory named after him. If you start in the back, it's Judge Wickersham, and then there's Dr. Bunnell, and then there's Mr. Hess. Luther Hess was the Speaker of the Senate. And the fourth over is Andrew Nerland, a local merchant who was very helpful to us in the early years. A.A. Schonbeck, a legislator from Anchorage, and Mr. Huffman, a representative from Seward. Seated are Mrs. Wickersham. Grace Wickersham was on the Board of Regents. Governor Troy, signing the bill. Mrs. Harriet Hess, secretary of the board from the time it was created until she died in 1951. And then George Lingo, the graduate of ours who introduced the change of name bill. Well, it was time to get rid of some of the frame structures and start on concrete. So in 1934, we were able to get at least the first floor of the Eielson building, which is the south about one-third, one story high, and covered it over with a temporary roof. About this time, the Matanuska colonies were started down in the Palmer area, and Dr. Bunnell was invited down to celebrate their first year of operation in 1935 and to dedicate the new schoolhouse there. And he's standing in front of the school. This is another picture of the campus about this time, about 1939, I would suppose, or so. And then there was very little done for the next 10 years because the war came upon us and the students left, and we just had a struggle to keep going. This is not a beautiful picture, but you see, we were a military camp for 2.5 years during the war, and the first thing when the army moved in to take over the campus, they found that all of the utilities were inadequate. So the first thing had to be done was put in a water and sewer and lighting system. So this is part of the excavation for that. And so for 2.5 years, the campus was a camp. We had a hospital unit and for recovery of soldiers, ambulatory cases over in Hess Hall. This dormitory was used for USAFI headquarters for the territory. There was a cold weather test station. The main building was converted into a barracks for the engineer troops that built the Alaska Highway. And so with the enrollment down to about 67 students, I think, for the years 43, 44, and 44, 45, they took over perhaps two-thirds of the campus for military purpose, and including the gymnasium. So commencement in 1944 was held up in the library, which is now the music room. Andrew Nerland is presenting a diploma to one of the three graduates. 1945, this is a picture of the white-haired gentleman is the famous Cap Lathrop, I suppose. Second only to Wickersham, his name is well known in the interior here. He was Alaska's first industrialist, and he's congratulating the two women graduates in the class of 1945. He was a member of the Board of Regents, by the way. And this is the campus as it remained from about 1940 to 1950 throughout the war years. All frame structures, very little that you can recognize now. If you the Eielson building there is the only concrete building and still there. All the others have been, well, I beg your pardon. The museum and the museum music room building is there too, and Hess Hall. Well, we had prominent visitors from time to time, and here General Eisenhower visited in 1946, and Dr. Bunnell showed him through the museum. Standing between them in the background is Ivor Scarlin, one of our graduates in the class of 1935, who subsequently became our professor of anthropology, well-beloved, died 3 years ago. Dr. Bunnell was in ill health and retired in 1949. The second president was Dr. Terrace Moore, and he served 4 years and 4 months. And Dr. Moore is still one of our good friends, and the new dormitory that we dedicated just last year is named in his honor on the hill. And he's keeps in very close touch with us. This is a picture that I took from the top of one building one time. The Geophysical Institute was just completed. This is about 1955 I took the picture, but the building had been up since 1949 or so. Remarkable in that the federal government built a building, $975,000 and so forth, on a university campus. I think it was most unusual and probably never been done again. The in front there is where Hess Hall, Wickersham Hall is now. It used to be the skating rink, and that indentation there was a outdoor swimming pool. Wasn't very successful. They put an inlet, but they didn't put an outlet, so the water got a little stale after a week or two, and if you get out and excavate in the parking lot just back of Wickersham, you might run into a little concrete down there, and that's the remains of the swimming pool. This is commencement about 1956 or 7, maybe a little earlier, I'm not sure. Dr. Smith was then, Schmidt was president of the University of Washington. Bert Balkin, a famous Arctic aviator in uniform, and then Dr. and Mrs. Patty. Dr. Patty took over the presidency in 53 and served until 1960. Interestingly enough, he was a member of the first faculty back in 1922, served for 13 years as professor of geology and dean of the college. And then in 1935, he resigned to enter private mining. And then in 1953, the regents called him back to asked him to be the third president. He served for 7 years then as our president. He's retired now, and he's quite an active life, however, in Seattle. And got a letter from him the other day. We're quibbling about a little piece of Alaska history, but I think he's probably right. Here's Dr. Patty and Dr. Bunnell. Dr. Bunnell lived for some 7 years after he retired from the presidency, as served as president emeritus. Adlai Stevenson was visiting the campus, and then on the far right, our senior senator, E.L. Bob Bartlett, who at that time was our delegate to Congress. The interesting thing is the fact that our delegate and our president emeritus have the same kind of fancy shirts on, you see. You see that? They have the same kind of sports shirt. And I don't know, Washington, D.C. was holding a sale at the same time as Fairbanks. Dr. Bunnell was wearing a tie, however, just to distinguish. This was a commencement about that same time. we awarded an honorary degree to Dr. Gasser. Professor Gasser had been our professor of agriculture for many, many years, and was referred to often as the Dean of Alaska Agriculture. So he was granted his degree that year. The far right is Otto Geist. He didn't get his honorary that year, but maybe the next year. Dr. Bunnell was in quite poor health, as you can see. And the gentleman right behind him, there is our acting Vice President Earl H. Beislein. So he was on the scene in those days, too. This was our Constitution Hall, or Student Union, built in 1955, just in time to take care of the Constitutional Convention. Dr. Patty told the legislature way back in January that year, oh sure, the building will be ready, meet to the Constitutional Convention at the university on the campus. Well, that was fine, except that the schedule of construction was really didn't call for the building to be complete by November. But they hurried along, and so they held their convocation in the gymnasium at 10 o'clock in the morning, and by noon they were able to move over just in the nick of time and have lunch and hold the afternoon session in the new building. This is the, I had to take a picture of this. This is the building that took something like 16 years to complete, and finally the Eielson building was completed in 1950. You see, after getting started in 1934, by building one floor at a time or one section at a time. And here it is in all its glory, and a very useful building. And we're getting to the almost into modern history now. Here's the old main building, situated just about where the pond is now in our plaza, and the Eielson building. We had to build the Eielson building, Bunnell building, and in the library on the far end. And then at Christmas vacation, 1960, we moved all of the equipment and so forth out of Old Main into Bunnell and proceeded to tear down the old one and get ready. And here we are back to where we started with the cornerstone. And this was the dedication of the Memorial Plaza. And Dr. Wood now has taken over since 1960. And this, I think, was in 1962. At any rate, we rededicated the cornerstone, it having been removed for a while for the new construction. And so we're just about back to where we start. There's one little point of interest. If you look at the cornerstone closely, you'll see that there's some rather white material just above the AACSM, and originally they had the words written cornerstone. But when they took the forms off, Wickersham and his friends, apparently the letters sloughed off, and it looked pretty messy, and you could hardly make out the word, and so Wickersham took the trowel and filled it all in with just plain mortar. And he said, well, he said, if they're smart enough to come to college, they'll be smart enough to know that this is the cornerstone. Thank you. That's my
talk. Thank you, Bill. Preston Wood has one or two more remarks. If you would notice the map.